Praise be to God who has given us the privilege to be together in the presence of God. I feel privileged to come and to be with you and to share God's word with you all. Years before when I came, I met only a few people in Edmund Lane Bible Chapel. But praise be to God, God has made you to grow to this level of this many people gathering in the name of the Lord as the church of God. Been a few days here, I have gone to assemblies with very few people. English assemblies. 10, some, maybe 50. But it delights my heart. Youngsters are here and godly men and women, elders of the assembly, and I praise God for you. Most of you, I'm a stranger, and some I'm glad that I can relate to. There's nothing that I think that is presentable concerning me to tell you this morning. All that I am is by the grace of God. But one thing that delights to tell you that the Lord has pleased to call me from my young days to be a servant and minister of God's word. I have called by the Lord to be a minister of the gospel from 1975. So I am just a humble student of God's word for the last 49 years. That's all that I say. The ministry, if you ask me, it's true that I teach in a Bible institute like in Pathanamthitta and a few others, but I trust that my ministry is to go preach the word. That you call me an evangelist, that's an evangelist should do. And the Lord has honored that humble efforts. This morning, with all humility, let me tell you, there are at least 7 assemblies around the assembly where I represent, Mylapra Assembly, and also in at least 2 in Andhra Pradesh. I think that is something that, you know, I have been used along with the saints of God to proclaim the gospel, to teach the word of God, and there are those assemblies standing for the word of God and for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And none of my, that it's none, it's not because of any of my merits, it's because of the sincere prayers of many saints around the globe. I have been given also to minister in different places. Praise God that I am with you this morning. The thought that comes to my mind is that I stand before you, giants of God's word, able ministers of God's word, with a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That doesn't mean that I am a child, little child. I'm also a senior brother. That's the thing. I'm also a grandfather for 4 of my grandchildren. And we have 3, 2 married and 1 to be married. And I believe in the presence of God that they live and serve the Lord. 2 with their family, along with the family, and 1. She graduated and having her job in Tiruvalla Medical Mission. Praise God for your prayers. And as you pray and sit in the pews, let me come and bring with the word that the Lord has given in my heart. The passage that the Lord made me to think and to say a few words is from Ephesians chapter 4. Chapter 4. The thoughts that I have this morning is very plain and simple, that you can easily follow. The first thing is that three things the risen Lord did to his body. We, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, need to remind every day not only his death on the cross. It's true that we remember that, but we need to continuously remind ourselves the things that, as the Church of God, he did to his body. And in this chapter, there are three expectations the Lord has for each and every one of us. Finally, there are three responsibilities that the Lord has given to us as the body of believers. Now, to begin with, you ask me, what are the three things the Lord has done or did to his body? When we say body, shall we read a verse to begin with? Not the most the important word that I want to bring. It is to say verse 12, for the equipping of the saints and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Body of Christ. For a person, body is very important. Because you have a body, because I have, that's why you are here. What do you think of a local church? What do you think about the Church of God? People come here, sit there on the Sunday morning, break bread and go. This is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. I minister to you because I have a body. The minute my spirit is taken away from this body, I cease to do everything that I do in this world. When you say the body of Christ means the risen Lord there in heaven, he accomplishes all his desires, his plans, his work through the Church of God. Through the Church of God. Can you think of a higher position? Not that he saved us, not that he cleansed the precious blood and made children of God, that's true. But we as the Church of God, he continuously uses us as the members of each. What a great privilege. We people, Apostle Paul says, you Gentiles, turn to be the body of Christ. What made that and what made or given us that great position? And chapter 4, that passage, the verses 1 to 3, we will not read all the passages. I know you are very familiar with the portions of the scriptures. It is we are united by the Holy Spirit of God. The very familiar verse is that, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 30. We, by one Spirit, whether Jew or Gentile, okay, high or low, we have made one body. Who unite each one of us? It is the Spirit of God. He makes us continuously use us as the body of Christ. That is what is called the unity of the Spirit. That is very good. But this morning I want to bring to you a few more other verses, just to remind us that it cost the Lord so much to unite us together and to make us the body of Christ. I think it's good to turn to chapter 2. Just for a moment. That's what we were thinking this morning. You have been brought together. We have been brought together. Look at verse chapter 2, verse 13. But now, talking to believers, you were far away. You were alienated from God. No privilege to be the citizens of heaven. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ones who were far off, been brought near by the blood of Christ. And verse 14 says, by the blood of Christ, made both one. Doesn't matter who we are, what color, what language we speak, we all made one. Number 2, verse 15, by the flesh that sacrificed on the cross of Calvary, enmity has been taken and we are made a new man. A new man. And let's go to other passages. Verse 16, through the cross, by the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are made one body. You see that? And verse 18, through him, we have both access by one spirit to the Father. Oh, what a description. It cost God, the Son of God, so much. How sometimes we are negligent of the fact that the cost that Christ paid on the cross by sacrificing his death, and that he has purchased us together, brought us together, made us the body of Christ. If you read verse closely, verse 18 closely, that is also the work of the triune God. You see that? For through him, we both have access by one spirit to the Father. So this is the work of the Son of God, work of the Spirit of God. And verse 18 says, it is the work of the Holy Triune God. And if you have any doubt, let's come back to chapter 4 and verses. Look at verse 4 onwards. We are one body. Repeatedly says, one body. And why we, the Holy Spirit is telling us this, these facts are often forgotten among brethren assemblies too. You go everywhere, assembly is divided. People are divided. There's groupism in the assembly. To Edmund Land Bible Chapel, to the Lord says repeatedly, one body, one body. It cost me so much. We put you together as one body. And the assemblies, or the Mylapore assembly, where I come from, it is same work. And look at that. And we are united by verse 4 and verse 5. What are the Trinity that is mentioned here? One Lord. Verse 5. And it says one Spirit, Holy Spirit. Then verse 6. God the Father, who is above all and through all and in you all. Not only it caused the Son of God, not only it's the divine continuous work of the Holy Spirit, but it is the main business of the God of heaven. You call him Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, that is what it is. This morning, maybe also reminded of all the things that I have said here. That is the purpose of the incarnation. Let's read verse 4. He ascended on high and led captivity and gave gifts to people. Okay, that's what it says. He came down to bring together a one body, a bride. And chapter 2 says, you know, of that, you know, it says that the holy temple of God, we have read that one man, through whom he does his work. What a precious thing to us. So number one, he called us to be together. That is the first thing that he says, that he called us. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, called us. And called us to be one body in perfect oneness, sevenfold oneness. And that is, we remember this day. Number 2, not only he has made us one, and to be one, it is the responsibility of every child of God. You cannot say, let the elders of the assembly do the work. I come and sit here, I just sing some songs, and I worship the Lord and go away. To be a one body of Christ, every member of the assembly has responsibility. You ask me where it is, and he says that, verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Everyone is responsible in endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the spiritual unity. For that, every one believer, doesn't matter what is your age, whether you are a brother in the Lord or a sister in the Lord, you know that everyone is equipped at least with one gift. Do you know the gift that the Lord has given to you? How many years since you are saved? For me, at least 54 years before I have come to the Lord. And maybe some of you, good. But do you know the gift that the Lord has given to you to be together, to keep the unity of the Spirit of God, unity by the Spirit as the one body of Christ? The spiritual gift to every one of us. That means, according to the riches of Christ, he has given a spiritual ability to not only to work for the Lord, but to serve and to be united to one another, fitly joining together, of which I don't have to describe for a long time, to give us gift. As I have read at least a minute ago, he says he came down to this world. He descended to the lower parts of the earth. Some people think that he went to some certain interior part of the world. That I do not think that is the meaning. He went to the lower parts of the world means he came down to this world. If you think that Christ has gone beneath some interior hall where some place where Christ is there, how do you think that, you know, what do you explain about the other world that he says that, you know, he ascended also. He who ascended also descended, and you know, he says that he descended far above all the heavens. He descended far above all the heaven means he that doesn't mean that he went above the roof of heaven. He went back to heaven. He came down. He went back to heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father. And while he came here, he defeated everyone that divides the people. Satan. Colossians chapter 2 says that, you know, he came and defeated all those foes there on the cross. And you cannot blame Satan all the time. He's a defeated enemy. He defeated death and sin that divides people. And he went back to heaven. And Bible verse 8 says, gave gifts to men. The spiritual gifts are the proof that he is there on the throne. You see that the mobile and all that, you use that to activate your car, open the door and see everything in your home with that remote control. That technology you have come to know maybe within 10 years. But that which is used by the Lord to in us to use for his glory. Chapter 3. Number 1, he called us to be together as one body. Number two, he has given gift to everyone. Grace has been given to us. Number three, verse 13. To make us together, to stand together as the churches of God. Verse 13 makes it very clear and in verse 11. He has given also gifted men. Verse 7, gift given to people. But here in this verse 11, he has given people, men as gifted people. Men as gifts to the assembly. Okay, that's exactly what I should say. The elders of the assembly, the teachers of the assembly. Okay, everyone in there in the oversight are given by the risen Lord, as it is described in other parts, by the Father, by the Holy Spirit, appointed to keep the unity of the Spirit of the Church of God and to work together to serve the Lord, to attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God who died for us and who has a living for us. And what is the expectation of each one of us this morning as we sit in the presence of God? I don't know, I am putting it, you know, things in the order. I'm still thinking about as to how I can put it together. Okay, number one, I have already mentioned in verse 3, he has called us for the unity of the Spirit. Okay, spiritual unity. That is always we need to keep in mind and use it for the glory of God. Verse 13. Okay. Spiritual gifted men are given, and every one of us are equipped with the gift to serve the Lord, and that is to keep the unity of the faith. Verse 13. That we all come to the unity of faith. Faith means the faith which is delivered to the saints. Everyone need to study, and it's not that, you know, elders have a better understanding of God's word. Some people, they understand it. Equality, that's what I mean. Unity in understanding God's word. Why people divide among themselves? It is because of the lack of knowledge of God's word. So that is what it says, to keep the unity of the word of God. Learn together, study together. Bible institutes are good. Okay, I teach in a Bible institute. But I strongly believe that the teaching of the word of God should be done in a local assembly. Because if you send a member of the assembly to our Bible institute or to DTS or anywhere, it's only he is equipping himself. It's like, you know, you strengthen just a hand or other part. What about the other part of the body? Equipping should be done to the whole part of the body. It's that some growing better and the other lesser way. That's what I understand. Okay. Unity of the faith. Everyone having knowledge of the scriptures in a orderly way, in a common way, that they can have, you know, not disputing each other, making fight and war against one another, but be united in the truths of the scriptures. Number three, the expectation of God is found in, the third one is found in verse 24, which I called, let me call it that in a way, called to keep the unity of holy life. I said three things. Called to endeavor or to make every effort to keep the unity of the Holy Spirit, unity of the oneness of the body of Christ. Number two, call to keep unity of the faith. Everyone united in the understanding of God's word. Number three, we are called also to keep the standard of holiness, holy life in every member of the assembly. We have to. That's the problem with the many assemblies also. I don't know how it is today. Parents are very godly. They do not know what is happening in the hearts of youngsters. Do you know that? Day before yesterday, I heard a story. And an young brother saying, we used to go with the parents, okay? We pray to make an impression. As a boy, I remember. But you know, we do certain things. There is no understanding, no relationship with the word and with the Lord. You do certain things to impress people. And you come in and sing in the choir. And you are the leader in the assembly in a certain way. People think you are a spiritual man. But no impact in your life. And there comes to a day that you understand that your son or a daughter is an atheist. And he goes her own way. Is that the problem of your life? Keep the unity of the body of Christ. Okay? Unity of the spiritual, that is, the spiritual unity. Number two, keep the unity of the faith. Make sure that everyone understands. Make sure that your daughter and your son understand God's word. You go for work and you are very busy. Do you make sure that your children understand and learn the scriptures the way you understand? Do they really honor the Lord? Or they come here, sit, just give an impression to you and to others that they are spiritual people, and they go and testify to other people. I do this thing, and my dad and mom doesn't know who I am, what I do. Secretly, they do things that dishonor the Lord. And thirdly, we are called to keep the unity and the standard of the holy life. What do you mean by holy life? Verse 24, okay? A new man created according to God's word. That means a true righteousness and holiness. Righteousness, that means right relationship to other people. Doing right things and responsibility to other people. That is righteousness that I understand. Holiness means you have right relationship. You do all your responsibility towards God. Are you a person like that this morning? My expressions may not be good. The language that is not American. I come from a village. But I am called to minister God's word. And the Spirit of God, when I say, I think will impress in your heart of the word of God. Now, coming back to our subject again, let me say the four responsibilities as the church or the body of Christ, the building that which God builds as the temple of the living God. Three things Christ has done to us, three expectations of the Lord. Now, finally, three responsibilities that I and you need to do as the members of the Church of the Living God. Chapter 4. Will you look at verse 14? Chapter 4 and verse 14. What is that? Brothers and sisters, the Spirit of God says that we no longer children. As far as things of the world, many of us are experts in many, many areas. Some of you have PhDs. Praise God for that. But are you a little child as the matters of God? And Bible says, don't be a child. Childhood days are very beautiful. Good to be have children. Okay, I have grandchildren too, and you have. But you come across a child Okay, I have seen, they are in Mailapur Assembly in the mail, a 45-year-old baby like a baby like me, sitting, lying down, looking at 45 years. Spiritual, that's a great burden to the parents, you know. That's a sad way of looking at him, you know. But this morning, are you a child in the things of God? And Bible says, be no longer children in understanding. What is the problem with the children? Okay, somebody says, okay, do that. Somebody says, go there. They are chose from here to there. Look at that verse. Carried away with every wind of doctrine. They think that every church is good and every doctrine is good. Love is the most important thing. Don't worry about the doctrines of the Lord. Are you a man like that this morning? Bible says you are a child. If you have that understanding, don't be a child. Running tossed to and fro. You see that? This is those. From here to there. And I love those words, you know. By every wind of doctrine. What are the wrong? How is that you talk about a wrong doctrine? Listen to the words. It is trickery of men. Number one, in the cunning craftiness, it is the cunningness of people. It is, and the third word is that deceitful plotting. Fellows come and use the podium to trick people, to deceive people. That's what he says. Don't be deceived by those words. Come back to scriptures. Learn the scriptures by yourself. And with the help of all godly people together, with the comprehensive understanding of God's word. Number one, okay, don't be a child, able to speak the truths, the deep truths of God with love. Grow up to a level of maturity. Will you bow in the presence of God and ask yourself, am I grown physically? Okay. You come to US and now you have a lot of things. But how far your spirituality, your spiritual life has grown to the level, Lord, am I still a child? Tossed by this, all the trickeries and deceitfulness of people? Or am I a person, grown up, matured person, equipped to help, to serve, to give to the people of God? And you cannot, and you will have to have an account of all those things. And you will not be able to say, Lord, sorry, I didn't know. The Spirit of God teaches you every day. He's the teacher. He's teacher inside. Teachers outside. The risen Lord is there directing you. And you have sometimes, and I have, and you have a deaf ear to hear. Because of the affairs of the world, you have no time to hear. That's why it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God talks to the churches of Christ. Why the Lord says, as the body grow up to the level of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's, if you say, put together those words from 11 to verses. 16, 17, verse 16. Number one, the first thing is that, grow to the level, never continue to be a child, that a burden, and a burden, I say, I don't know what to say to other people. You know, children are often, not grown, are a burden to the parents. You know, if you have children like that, you know. Some children are a burden to the parents. They don't do work. They do not do their responsibilities. And they are a burden and a headache to the society around. Number two. Concerning our responsibilities, verse 17 onwards. Number one, no longer children. Number two, no longer live like the rest of the Gentiles around. You have a free country, you are, you can do anything because a lot of money you gain. But Bible says, okay, no longer live like those people who do not have life. The Gentiles. Some of these words are very interesting, you know. And Bible says, verse 18, will you look at these words? Their understanding darkened. Physics and chemistry, it's good maybe, but as far as things of God and things of the Word of God, number one, maybe what? Futility of their mind. As far as God, their mind do not producing anything to glorify God according to the desires of God. Why? Their hearts are darkened. It is full of darkness. Okay? It is full of alienated from God and full of ignorance and so many other words. And the lifestyle is that uncleanness. People who come and break bread also live during the day in unclean thoughts. And verse 22, in deceitfulness of lust. Earlier, deceitfulness of men, people concerning the doctrines. It's interesting that, you know, deceitfulness of lust. You have a tendency to go and taste that, and you do that, you come to know that you are trapped like a rat in a cage. Are you trapped by certain sins this morning? By the deceit, you thought it is going to do great thing, but you are deceived. Some of us are not being used of the Lord because you have not confessed that sin to the Lord. Will you this morning bow your head in the presence of God? There is no one who have no sin. He alone is sinless. So it's a responsibility to cleanse our life continuously, regularly, by the washing of the Word of God, by the power of the Lord, by power of the Holy Spirit. No longer walk as Gentiles. Okay? But put on, as we have said, holiness, righteousness. Be a holy person. Dedicate your eyes, dedicate your hand, dedicate every part and every earnings of your life for the kingdom to come. The Lord continuously reminds us every day that we are temporal beings. Yesterday, one of our students of BBI just died, heart attacks. My own brother, he was much stronger than me. Even today I have, you know, those VIPs problem, you know, diabetic, the blood pressure and such kind of thing. It's for the glory of God, I say. My brother just fall down and die. If it happens to you, do you accomplish the things that the Lord has called you? No longer be Gentiles. Walk as Gentiles. And finally, this is what I come, as I come to close, verse 25 to 32. What do you call that? Let me humbly say that. No longer grieve the triune God. No longer grieve the triune God. We often say that grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. But if you look carefully, as I looked at that word, it's not really the Holy Spirit, it's mentioned God and Christ. What are the things that grieve the triune God? Verse 25. Put away lying. Do believers lie? Ananias and Sapphira, were they members of the church of God? They did not steal somebody's property. Okay? Every right to handle, us, me and you, every right to handle things by themselves. But even if it belongs to you, if you lie in the presence of God, you lie to the Holy Spirit. Lie to God. Okay? What are the other sins? Okay? There are many other things that are coming. The other one that you may think that it's made very clear, it's not that we think, it's verse 27, your wrath. our lying life, the way we present things before other people, the lies, the modified, clever lies that we say to impress people, grieves the triune God. Number two, your wrath, either in the family or in the church of God, it grieves God. Okay, the stealing, you don't work, you are very lazy, you don't earn anything, you try to grab the things from others very, very smartly. That is stealing. And if you do that, grieve God of heaven. The corrupt words, the ugly words that come out. And verse 29, the corrupt words proceed out of your mouth. Be careful of that. The gift of speaking is a great blessing. Don't you know that? Because I am able to speak, I am here. If I lose that, nobody will be able to be. Look at that words. Why mouth is given, the tongues are given? Tongue is given for edification, encouraging people, teaching and imparting grace to others. When you hear a servant of God, the Spirit of God gives, pours grace. And that is the prayer of my heart to say, yes, Lord, will you be pleased to pour grace in the ears of my hearers. And he says that, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 30, all of us are very familiar, okay? He's a person. He can be grieved. No power can be grieved. Holy Spirit, who is in us, is not a power. He is a person. He listens to every word that I utter and every intentions of my heart. And by whom, very clear, you were sealed by the day of redemption. The day of redemption is coming far. We will be redeemed and taken out of this world. And we will be like the Lord. Okay. And what are the other things? Verse 31. Okay, verse 31 onwards, I relate to God the Father. Bitterness, anger, clamor, evil speaking, put away those things. And says that, when you do not forgive other people, it grieves of the Father. Because he has forgiven all our sins through his Son and through his sacrifice on the cross. Let's come to chapter 5, verse 1. Scholars think that chapter 5, verse 1 is part of chapter 4. Chapter 4. Let me do that. The death of Christ. Look at that words. Walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself for us. This morning, every one of us, we were meditating upon that fact. He has given for us. Look at that word again, and he says that an offering and sacrifice to God. How did he give himself? Two words. Offering. What do you mean by offering? Anything that you give to God without blood. In the 33 and a half years, if you take out the few minutes on the cross, okay, all other thing was an offering to God. He offered his life to God. That's why I am here and you are here. Will we all together, as we are, it's time to depart, will we also, Lord, here am I. This short, temporary life that I have. This little ugly thing, okay? You think it's very good. If you don't take bath for two days, you know how ugly it is. Give it to the Lord and he will use it for his glory, okay? His secret life, his public life was look at the words. He says that a sweet swelling aroma. That's why heaven declared, the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He was not well pleased in the sight of the high priest. and other people. But he was, well, his life, his public life, secret life was well-pleasing. Finally, he offered his life on the cross, shedding his blood. That is called the sacrifice to God. And Bible says, imitators of that. Yeah, you understand? Imitators, give your life. And if God gives you an opportunity to be a martyr for the Lord, be like him. Shall we close our eyes? Will you bow in the presence of God? Three things Christ has done for each and every one of us. Okay, what a precious thing. He has called us to be one. He has given us a special gift. And he has also given capable men in the assembly. And everyone coming to the assembly need to submit themselves to the elders of the assembly, that for the unity of the, of, number one, of the spiritual unity. Number two, unity of the faith. Number three, unity in holy life. For that, Bible says, don't live like the world around. Sorry, number one, don't be children. Don't be a child in the things of the world. Grow up to the level that God expects. Number two, no longer walk as Gentiles. Number three, make sure that you do know the heart of God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Shall we bow our heads? Thank you for your patient listening, and may the Spirit of God, who not only tells us to do, but he, the risen Lord, enables us, make us to walk in the paths, and make us competent to accomplish all his desires, purposes, programs in and through us. D.L. Moody said, world is set to see what God can do through a man, young man, who is committed to it. And D.L. Moody, I heard that he prayed and said, Lord, let that be, let me be that person. Last week I visited Moody Bible Institute, you know, just for an example. It's nothing great of that thing. What God can do, a committed person, is great. Will you say, Lord, here am I. I want to be that man. Because your expectation is great. You have made us your body. The holy temple of God. That one man through whom you represent yourself to the whole world. Father, we thank thee for the privilege of learning and having understanding of your eternal precepts, so deep, so precious, the great deposit that you have entrusted to us. Thank you for the understanding that nothing in this world is greater than your eternal word. We love you, Lord. Father, we love you. Son of God, we love you. The Spirit of God, we love you, just as you love us and give yourself to us. We also love and give. Thank you for the privilege of sharing your word. Thank you for all the dear ones who have, all those who listen to the word of God. Lord, help us to be that particular person who is committed, devoted to him, that you can carry on your purposes. All glory to you. Thank you for Ephesians 4 and everything that you have reminded this morning. All glory and our thankfulness we pour in your presence in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. May God bless you.